All right, so let's get right into it. Carolina Panthers training camp week two is underway. And as they put the pads on for the first time today, we really start to get into true 11-on-11 drills, because now we actually get a pass rush on quarterbacks, right? We actually can see what the defense is going to do in a true 11-on-11 situation. We can actually see how the offense adapts. Now, at this point in the season, early on, base defenses are so much easier to install than offenses, right? Because offense, you got to worry about cadence, motions, different formations. A base defense and base coverage is a lot easier to install. So defenses generally are going to be a little bit more ahead of the offense generally at this time of the season, usually, especially when you have a whole new coaching staff.
Yes,
that comes
goodness.
In. Yes, thank goodness on that. But when your coaching staff, for the most part, in terms of head coach, coordinators, is all different, well, guess what? Sometimes the defense is a lot easier to install. As someone, I played football in college my freshman year, decided to play lacrosse for four, but it was easy. It was just, here's our base front, here's your alignment, your assignment, and go pursue the football. Mm-hmm. That's it. Alignment, assignment, go pursue the football. That's it. Okay, if there's a pass situation, this is your coverage. This is your zone that you're in. Well, for a man-to-man, this is who you're guarding. This is your gap. That's it. It's a lot easier to install those things. Whereas there's different timing and things like that with offense. So don't be surprised. Don't freak out when we see that Bryce Young throws an interception.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's practice.
It's okay. I'll get into this a little bit later on, actually at 12:30. We're going to dive into expectations for Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. What will be considered a failure this season? We're going to dive into that at 12:30. But five things that I want to see, Victoria.
Yeah.
Through now that we have the pads on in practice during training camp. Number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stay healthy.
Please.
Just stay healthy.
Please. If the Canes teach you anything from last season,
yes.
Stay healthy.
Just stay healthy. Now, there's a couple of particular groups and individuals I'm looking at. Looking at you, J.C. Horn. Please stay healthy. J.C. Horn is so freaking good.
Yeah.
If that dude plays a full season, people are going to be talking about him as one of the best cover corners in the entire NFL. He's that good. But he's just got to stay healthy. They had kind of like the freak injury with the forearm, like the hit by Jeremy Chinn last season that knocked him out the last few games. But he had a little bit of an ankle and foot injury during the offseason as well. Hopefully he's all good to go. Mm-hmm. I want that guy healthy. Jackson, coming off of the torn Achilles from last season. That's not an easy injury to recover from.
No, you got
to
be careful.
Period. It's just not an easy injury to recover from, even though you do fully heal up. Because with a torn Achilles, just your gait of how you walk, all that stuff is altered. So for a position that requires speed, things can get a little bit dicey. But also on the offensive line, Austin Corbett is recovering from the torn ACL that he suffered in the last game of the season against the New Orleans Saints. Okay? He's starting right guard. Also, Chandler Zavala, their fourth-round pick out of NC State this past season, on the physically unable to perform list because of a pectoral injury. So a guy that they drafted with anticipation, like, hey, this guy could start for us. Now, they brought all five starting offensive linemen, including Austin Corbett, back. So, Ike Ekwonu, Brady Christensen, Bradley Bozeman, Taylor Moten, Austin Corbett, all five of those guys coming back,
which
I think
is exciting.
Great.
Yes.
I actually really do like their offensive line.
Yes.
But when you have one of your starters is recovering from an injury, you're not training, you're recovering. There's a difference between the two. And one of the guys you drafted as part of that depth is hurt. Oh, okay, Cade Mays, sixth-round pick last year out of Tennessee. Let's see how you developed. And this is sometimes where, okay, you get the injuries just kind of start to pile up. Then before you know, you're like, oh, actually, we got some holes on the offensive line.
Yeah, it's bad.
It would not surprise me if at some point we do see, like, a depth receiver get traded for a depth offensive lineman. Something along those lines, it would not surprise me if we saw that. But nonetheless, offensive line health is paramount, especially with the rookie quarterback in Bryce.
Oh, know? Yeah.
So those are things I'm looking to see. One, stay healthy. Number two, let's see how Bryce Young, we'll dive more deeper into Bryce Young in a little bit. But two, let's see how Bryce Young continues to build his chemistry with the receiving core. Bro, as of right now, what we've seen Adam Thielen, DJ Chark is the two starting receivers. Seen a lot of LaVisca Chenault working in there. It's kind of like a gadget player, Victoria.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with. If you can make that piece work in terms of, okay, if we can get Chenault whether it's a carry out of the backfield, a jet sweep, or on different ways that you get him the ball, sure. If you can get him to space, okay, that's fine. And also, if he can be multiple in terms of where he can line up and how he's effective and how he's used, and he is effective in those ways, Victoria, I like the idea of just when he's on the field, teams have to really pay attention to where he is.
Yeah, if he's unconventional, then yeah. You don't really know what to plan for. So
exactly.
It trips people up.
Exactly. It makes things a lot harder for defensive coordinators when it comes to game planning. But so I want to see Bryce Young continue to develop, not only with his receiving core in terms of the perimeter, but what about Hayden Hurst? How does Tommy Tremble develop now in year three? So there's a lot of different things I would like to see Bryce Young do. Now that you actually have 11 on 11 drills, you actually get a pass rush in your face. Now, by accounts I was seeing this morning, that Bryce Young threw an interception again. This time it was like a diving interception by Frankie Louvu. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. You throw those interceptions during practice. Get them out now when it doesn't count.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Again, we'll dive more into that at 12:30. But third thing I'm looking forward to, How does the playbook offensively evolve early in training camp? Now, when you get the pads on and you go full speed, you may realize some things that you thought would work might not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Yeah. You're trying to figure this stuff out. But also, vice versa, you might realize, oh, we're actually able to do more of this. This is actually going to be working better than we anticipated. Actually, thinking back to my time when I was coaching college lacrosse, and we would try and do installs, different things on offense that we wanted to run. And we started to realize, like, wait a second, some of the ideas and the concepts we wanted to use weren't exactly the way we thought.
Yeah.
But we were able to kind of deviate slightly off them because you start to figure out what everyone is capable of doing. Again, you got a lot of new pieces on this team last year. Yeah, the five starting offensive linemen are back. But all my receivers are basically new, at least my starting receivers. I know Shai Smith, Terrace Marshall Jr., but, I mean, I got Mingo. I know Chenault's back, but I got Jonathan Mingo just drafted. I got Shark and Thielen that you brought in as starters. Hayden Hurst as a tight end, new in there as well. New running back with Miles Sanders. But also you have a new coaching staff, right?
Yeah, so you got to figure out what works.
Yeah, you have to figure out what works. But also it's an opportunity for the coaches as well to figure out what also works for them in terms of Frank Reich is bringing different stuff that he ran with Indianapolis and with Philadelphia. Thomas Brown's coming under the Sean McVay coaching tree from out in with the Rams out in Vegas. Almost said St. Louis. But nonetheless, they're bringing different philosophies and different viewpoints. Okay, how does this all mesh and blend together, right? Because everyone's bringing in a little bit different, which I think is good. It's hard to truly predict what their offense is going to look like this season. We don't fully know. We haven't seen them play against someone else. But I also think they don't really know. They have an idea of what they want, what they're capable of doing, but until you actually play somebody else, you just don't really know.
And I kind of like that we don't know what we're doing because it feels refreshing. Obviously, it wasn't working last year, so let's change it up and make something else work.
And last year, we saw the running game after Matt Rhule got let go. We saw the running game really take off last season. Didn't have much in terms of the passing game. Thank you, Sam Darnold. Thank you, Baker Mayfield, for your time. But the running game we saw was great last season. But again, different people.
Yep.
Different running backs, different coaching staff. Totally different mindset.
Different year.
It's totally different season. So again, we just don't quite fully know.
Nope.
Like, okay, we can look at what McVay did in St. Louis, so we can see, okay, that's what Brown's going to bring in. Well, we can see what Reich did in Indianapolis or in Philadelphia. But again, even they've evolved and have changed. You have to adapt to your personnel. And no one truly knows, but that's okay. All right, so fourth thing here of things I'm looking forward to training camp-wise. Now that we have the pads on.
Let's go.
Love it. How does new defensive coordinator Ejiro Evero use Jeremy Chinn?
It'd be very interesting.
I think this is a big year for Jeremy Chinn.
I hope so.
I think so. I think it's not only just a big year for him, but I also think it's an important year for him as well. In the sense that we saw a lot of that playmaking ability his rookie season in 2020. There's a lot of it around the line of scrimmage. We didn't quite see it as much in the last couple of seasons. And I think that's a byproduct of how he was used. Because we saw him dropping deep into coverage as a safety a lot last season. Where we saw him make a lot of his plays, was near the line of scrimmage, in the box, right? Kind of sometimes even playing as a like an off-ball linebacker to an extent. So I'm curious to see what Ivero does with Chin, especially now that we have 11-on-11. Okay, you brought in Von Bell, which I think was a really, really good signing.
Yes.
Bringing in Von Bell from the Bengals is where he was last. Mm-hmm. Remember?
A lot of potential there.
Yeah, so bringing in Von Bell, also keeping Xavier Woods. So, okay, where does Jeremy Chin line up? Do you line him up a little bit at nickel corner? Do you line him up in these sub packages? Because, yes, they run a base 3-4 now under Ivero, but the NFL, the way they spread things out so much, you're in sub packages all the time, right? So are you going to move him up closer to the line of scrimmage in these sub packages, right? When teams go 3 wide, even 4 wide.
Yeah.
So how are you going to use him? Are you going to use him a lot around the line of scrimmage? Are you going to blitz him more often? I don't know. I'm intrigued to see because, again, you have the depth there at safety with Woods, with Von Bell. So Jeremy Chin can be used in a lot of different ways. I, as someone who grew up watching the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
To me, I remember Troy Polamalu was just all around, all over the place.
Oh, yes. Everywhere.
And there's actually times and situations where Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator, was like, all right, Troy, you just kind of roam around and do your thing. Yeah. We're going to cover. We'll have everything else covered. You roam around and do your thing.
Yep.
Like, just be instinctual and play. Like, if you want to rush, if you want to drop in coverage or jump a route, whatever you want to do. And I'd be okay if Jeremy Chin did that.
Oh, I'm totally
I'm not saying Jeremy Chin is Troy Polamalu. I'm not
right.
saying that.
He obviously doesn't have the hair either.
Exactly.
That Troy
That's
did.
A big thing.
Yes.
He's like Samson. That's where all his power came from. But I would like to see them use Jeremy Chin in multiple ways. Like we kind of talked about Laviska Shenault a moment ago about always like, okay, if he's on the field, like, okay, what's he going to be doing here? Like, is he running out in pass routes? Is he going to get a carry? Same thing with Jeremy Chin. When he's out there, it's like, okay, what's that guy doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is he going to drop in coverage? Where is he going to drop in coverage? Is
we
he going to blitz?
An eye
yeah,
on that one.
You really have to pay attention to what he is. So I'm really curious to see what Ivero, the new defensive coordinator, what he does with Jeremy Chin and how he uses him. Yeah. And final thing is, fifth thing I'm looking forward to.
Is this the most important thing that you're looking forward to?
I wouldn't say most. It's okay. Just, these are just 5 things.
Okay.
Just 5 things. Who's going to be the one that takes ownership of that opposite outside linebacker, edge rusher spot, opposite of Brian Burns? Yeah. Who's going to take ownership of that? DJ Johnson, third-round pick out of Oregon that the Panthers traded up to get that pick.
Right.
Who's also, like, really old for a guy that got drafted. Okay, how do you develop DJ Johnson? Are you able to take ownership of that in true passing situations when it's 3rd and 8? Can we plug you in there and know that you're going to get pressure on the quarterback? Amari Barno, 6th-round pick last year out of Virginia Tech. All right, year 2 for you. How do you evolve into this role? Etor Gross-Matos, 2nd-round pick in 2020 out of Penn State. Where are you? Okay. I want to see how you now, again, you're probably going to be standing up a little bit more often in your base 3-4 as an outside linebacker as opposed to a defensive end. Okay, how do you handle the position change? Because it's different. It just is. You're going to be asked to do a lot of different stuff. How do you evolve? Who takes ownership opposite? Is it Haynes? Marquise Haynes? Who develops opposite of Brian Burns? Because now if it's a rotating cast of people that are effective in different ways, then fine. If you got to do it on the aggregate, okay. But I would like to see someone really take ownership opposite of that. And there could be situations where, you know what? It's 3rd and 15, and the other team spreads things wide. Well, Frankie Louvu, move him out there on the edge. You could drop Jeremy Chin down an inside linebacker next to Shaq Thompson in those sub packages.
Yeah. I'd like to see them do trickier things.
Yeah,
the Panthers have not been a team that will do tricky things. Like, you know, you don't see them do the ring around the rosy thing like the Chiefs and Mahomes, but I feel like in a 3rd and 15, you know, spot.
Yeah. Yeah,
they might just try to play it safe, and sometimes you can't play it safe.
Yeah, and I would like to see this defense evolve as the season goes. I think they have a lot of really good pieces. I think there's some questions in terms of depth at linebacker once you get past Shaq Thompson and Frankie Louvu in terms of the interior. And again, who's opposite of Brian Burns? Listed a bunch of names. We know these names, but again, effectiveness is what matters. And then obviously, corner.
Yeah.
Jackson, please. Horn, please stay healthy. This team needs it.
Oh, bad.
All right, we're going to dive more into the Panthers here at 12:30. But let's move on to college football real fast. Adam Gold got to talk to Drake May last week. Again, if you missed that conversation, it's on the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. It's also available on 99.9 The Fan's YouTube page, which is where we are based out of in Raleigh, North Carolina. But Drake May, UNC quarterback, was announced today that he's on the Maxwell Award watch list, which is awarded to the best player in college football. And now it comprises of writers, coaches, sportscasters, as well as the Maxwell Football Club. They're the ones that vote on it. So different group of voters in the Heisman Trophy. Some folks who have won it in recent years. Let's go back and look. Let's go back and list, all right? Caleb Williams won it last year. Bryce Young, know that guy. Devonta Smith, Joe Burrow, Tua, you get the picture, right?
Yeah.
These guys also won the Heisman.
They're pretty good.
Okay, which it makes sense that this guy is on the, this guy, Drake May, is on the Maxwell watch list. He's also going to be on the Heisman watch list, too.
Yep.
And you know what comes with those? Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And very high ones. And you know what? That's okay. If you're Carolina football, you should have high expectations. With some of the transfers and the guys that you brought in, you have a new offensive coordinator that Drake May was part of that decision, or at least part of the process of that decision. Yeah, you're all in on this season.
Yep.
You know why? Because you have a guy who's projected to be a one of the top two quarterbacks in the NFL draft. You have that guy on your roster. Now, I know you lost some talented players like Josh Downs is gone. But this is your year. Because in professional sports, we talk about like, all right, we could build like a five-year window, right? Like, for example, Bryce Young got the rookie contract, 4 years plus the fifth-year option. Okay, we got this five-year window that we could really build out the roster, really pay for some guys. And, you know, before an extension really does kick in, like, we could really build the roster up in that five, that window.
Yeah.
College football, that window ain't as wide.
It's not.
It's just not. Because you had Drake May last year as a first-year starter, as a redshirt freshman. And if he plays like we expect him to this year, guess where he's going to be? Or not going to be? He's not going to be at Chapel Hill in 2024.
He will not.
If he is, it's a totally different conversation, a totally different story. But nonetheless, your window is now, if you're Carolina. Now, we are going to get into a little bit here in a moment about what Carolina's been doing recruiting-wise. They got another four-star recruit from here in-state. But nonetheless, this is your time now for UNC football. If not now, when?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If not now, when? You got to the AFC the ACC championship game this past season, right? You lost pretty handedly to a Clemson team. Clemson team that was just better than you. That's okay. You can admit that. But now's your chance. Now's your chance. Take advantage of it right now if you're North Carolina. Now, yes. I did mention about North Carolina and recruiting. They did land another four-star recruit, Alex Taylor from Grimsley High School, right out there in the Triad. You know that area very well, Victoria. Number three overall player in the state, according to 24/7 Sports. Also ranked 26 nationally amongst wide receivers, and they have him also ranked 154 overall of all the high school recruits.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's a top 300 player. Top 200.
Yeah.
Add this on top of four-star safety Malcolm Ziegler from Fuquay Varina, who's the number one player ranked in the state, according to On3.
Oh, wow.
All these different sites and all these different rankings and stuff. But nonetheless, they have eight commits from inside the state of North Carolina.
That's big.
Now, why is that important? We saw a lot of the guys that just graduated from NC State. We're from the state of North Carolina. Drake Thomas, Thayer Thomas. We've seen guys like Ricky Person, Bam Knight, Peyton Wilson, who came back this upcoming season. All those guys are from the state of North Carolina. All of them from in the state. This is why this is important. I think it's healthy for college football in this state when our recruits stay in state. We saw last season, I'm on record saying this, it was, you can argue, the best year of college football in the state of North Carolina as a whole. With State, Duke, Carolina, Wake, all making bowl games. Carolina get into the ACC championship. NC Central winning the Celebration Bowl. So that's postseason because they won the MEAC. Winning the Celebration Bowl. Campbell had a great season.
Yeah.
Elon, Davidson, shout outs to the Wildcats, as well as Gardner-Webb. Those three schools all made it to the FCS tournament, right? The postseason.
I mean, App didn't do that great, but they did win game day.
Exactly. Like, they had
a great game.
They did win game day. And they had a big upset last year with Texas A&M and all that. But they still went 6-6. They didn't make a bowl because two of their wins were against FCS schools. But overall, it was a great year of college football in the state of North Carolina. I love seeing the recruits stay in the border of our state.
Me too.
I love seeing it because I think it's just good for the health of all these schools that play.
Yeah.
And if you're a 3-star that commits to App or to ECU or go to Charlotte, that's awesome. I like the fact that our top recruits are staying here. Those are guys like Dexter Lawrence, went from Wake Forest High School just north of Raleigh down to Clemson. Bryce Love goes out of state. That's why I like that Sam Howell, Drake May, these guys stayed in the state of North Carolina. Like those guys I mentioned that just finished up at NC State, those guys are from here.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. I want these guys to stay in the state of North Carolina. All right, final thing out here out of the gate. Let's go to the pitch. If you could stay up till 3 a.m. tonight, you can watch the U.S. Women's National Team play against Portugal. Yeah, I'm not going to. If you want to wake up early, do you. They have DVR, folks.
Right, maybe take a nap.
You can still do that. Exactly. Set your VCRs to record. But U.S. Women's National Team, they play Portugal, can we say tomorrow morning?
Sure.
The game's at 3, or is it tonight? It's at 3 a.m. Eastern
Technically
time.
Technically tomorrow morning, so you're not wrong.
So if you're out there on the West Coast listening right now, just stay up till midnight. That's when the game kicks off. But U.S. Women's National Team beat Portugal, win the goal differential, you win the group, which is what you want to do. You want to win the group because things are just going to be a little bit easier for you when it comes to the knockout stage. You don't have to face some of the other top countries like Sweden, who's number 3 nationally. You don't want to face those teams yet, those countries yet. Do your job against Portugal. Beat them. I think in 5 matches overall between Portugal and U.S. Women's National Team, Portugal hasn't scored a goal. Let's keep that streak going.
Yeah,
let's keep that streak going. It is the Adam Gold Show. Dennis Cox sitting in for Adam Gold this afternoon. Victoria is producing the show today. Again, coming up just under an hour, ECU head football coach Mike Houston is going to join us live at 1:20. Get a look at the Pirates season as the outlook of the Pirates season as camps get underway this week. Did you know that 1 month from today? 1 month from today?
Wow.
NC State is up at UConn 1 month from today.
That's crazy. Where did summer go? What is going on?
It's hot. Trust me, it ain't going anywhere. You stepped outside?
Yeah. Well,
it's hot.
You can actually see how hot it is outside. The heat is just fuming.
It's
off of
stupid.
Yeah.
It sucks. This heat outside is awful.
Yeah.